Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters, again for this last little message on daily devotion. It is Friday, and we have been talking about a subject where it is written, He sent them saviors. Yesterday, we looked at how that God spoke through the servants. And I also made a notice that some people are actually sent by God. But then there are also people that are sending themselves. They're actually not sent by God. They are just trying to convince you that they are God's messengers. I want to go to a little scripture today. Because now, I want you to have the ability to see what is of God and what is not. And of course, it has to do with your personality. If you have a desire to rule over people, you should watch it. Because you cannot rule them and then be a true servant of the Lord. But I pray that you can be an attraction. Because Jesus attracted people. The prophets attracted people. When you read through the whole Bible, you see some people stood by the word, the revelation that was given, because it spoke to their inner man, the spirit man that they are. But others have so many personal desires for benefits in this world that they lay out a spirit with their life's example that shows their true identity, which then is a false view picture of what a person should look at. You have the spirit of Ananias and Sapphira when you read about that in the book of Acts. Here first there was a man called Barnabas, and he had a heart for the people. So he sold property and put it before the feet of the apostles. And it became a great blessing to all the believers in that area. But then here was Ananias and Sapphira, and they saw the great benefit that came, and probably how well spoken of Barnabas was, because he sold property and gave it to the poor. So they decided also, we're going to do the same. We also want that good reputation. But we don't want to give it all, we're just going to hide it. We're going to tell we gave it all. And then we'll split it in half and keep the rest for ourselves so that we can have good benefits over our own property. All right. But when the day came that they sold it all, put aside money for themselves, they came and they visited the apostles. Of course, they gave it to the apostles. And Peter was standing there, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and said, was this the whole amount? Hey, that should have been a warning, because I don't think that Peter said that when Barnabas gave the money. Then they were just accepting and praising the Lord. But here the Holy Spirit did not want that falseness in a man's character to live in the body of Christ. So therefore, the Holy Spirit warned them. And of course, the man, he didn't think more of it because he was so selfish-minded and earthly bound that he put a blank out lie and said, yes, that was all of it. And Peter said, because you lied to the Holy Spirit and not to us, you are not going to live any longer. The man got a heart attack, and they had to carry him out. The wife came in after, and Peter asked the same question, and the wife was so hooked up with money and property that she falsely lied before the Lord and before the apostles. And then Peter said, as your husband was carried out, you will also be carried out the same way. And she gave up the ghost and died. So here is a sign and a proof that God sometimes immediately takes action because of men's behavior. But remember now, even if things don't happen instantly, like in the days of Ananias and Peter, the same spirit is upon the people. And some judgment comes quickly, but to other people, the judgments come in later. Because at the end of the days, when we stand before the throne of God, we will honestly receive what we had done in life. So therefore, we have to examine our lives and also examine the people that are around us. We're not gonna go after them and check their liability in all aspects of life, because God will take care of those things. But there are some quick judgments that can be made in your heart. And you can say, is this really, oh God? Hey, it might sound good. It might even so sound perfect. Like we read yesterday in the Old Testament, if there is a prophet who says something in the Lord and it does happen, but he is turning and he is getting off the main highway with some things that are not of God. So here, truth and error is blended. And here is where we have to watch it. You don't need to be a very smart person to see those things, but there are some guidelines in the Bible to help you out. Let us just read 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. And it says there, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. I'll stop here. So, is there a way that we can prove what spirit there is in a man? Because the Bible also says, no man knows the other man. Like, I cannot tell that I know everything about you. It is only one who knows everything about you, and that's God himself. And we then, we have to look at every person that we meet with the best potential attitude. If I see a person, I will greet him, I will be open, I will have a bright spirit about it, and then I will still have an alarm clock to see if this is really 100% the way God wants things. And if I see things deviate from the straight and narrow road, then I'll have an alarm clock inside that will give me a warning. And God will be there to help me. So it says there, try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Wow, that's really something. And then in verse 2 it says, hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that recognizes, confesses, or acknowledges that Jesus is Christ come in the flesh is of God. And you might wonder, how is that to be interpreted? Well, we have now used a little thought and called it, he sent them saviors, right? So that means when a person rises up and he speaks in the name of the Lord. And of course, in the Old Testament, it was not about the name of Jesus Christ, because it wasn't known among them at that time. It was only Joseph and Mary that had a revelation that the Son of God's name was going to be called Jesus the Christ. And before then, it was not even known. It was a secret. But God, who have installed his Spirit inside you. Remember, you are a child with this gift of the Spirit of God inside you. And the Spirit of God, if you weight, you put on the scale the words that are coming, and you use the words as an examinator. You examine what is said. Of course, you can examine it with your own personal desire for money, wealth, popularity, and stuff like that. You can use your natural way of understanding spiritual things, and it will always come out wrong. But then you can ask and you can look at it from the standpoint that you want to serve the Lord. You want to benefit God's people, and everything you do, you have that desire inside you that you want to honor God. All right. So therefore, if a person raises up and he speaks in the name of the Lord, you have a story in Jeremiah chapter 28, where there was a man called Hananiah, and he rose up in the midst of the people of Israel, and he said, "Thus said the Lord." And then he explained that the 70 years in Babylon would be shortened, and the people would be back in 2 years. Of course, the man that sent the original message, 70 years, he was also standing there. And when he heard the man saying that, then Jeremiah, he said to the people and to the prophet, "Oh, may it happen as you said. But the Lord have shown me 70 years. So now we will just let time prove it." He turned around and walked out from among them. And of course, the people are very happy because so here is a prophet who is shortening the disasters, the tragedy, the captivity. And now he became like a number one member of the party. The next president or prime minister. Okay. But when he had left the Sanhedrin, the Lord came down and he said to him, "Turn around, go back and speak to the man who told a lie, because I did not inspire him. He is doing this by his own self. Therefore, tell him, because you lied, you will die this year. You will not see the end of this year." Of course, Jeremiah had to go back, and he spoke straight to the face of the false prophet, and not just accused him. He blankly gave the reference that he was a false man. And of course, the only thing to prove it is when God says things, he will manifest it. And before the year was over and ended, the man was already dead. And Israel was still captive for 70 years. All right, so here we see there are false prophets and there are real prophets. And when I read that part, and it says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. How could they see that back in the Old Testament? Of course, the name of Jesus Christ wasn't there, but the anointing of God was there. And that anointing was helping the people to see the value. Of course, most of the people of Israel was carnally minded, and they didn't even want to listen to Jeremiah, for example. But there were some true vessels that had a desire to live for God, and they stood by the word. Hey, it's the same thing today. There's a lot of people that goes for popularity, and the denominational spirit is fooling the people to believe that they're right. Even God says he is not into organized religion. Okay, so when you are going to see God in operation, does that mean, because here we read 1 John chapter 4, and we know that that is 2,000 years old. And how can we, by reading that scripture, determine what is right and false in our day? That's the big issue. Because I have heard a lot of men saying things out of the scriptures, and inside it alarms my spirit when I see how things is going in a carnal way. I'm looking directly for a spiritual education and to help the people to gain conscience and a righteous attitude and a loving spirit towards the truth of the Word of God. All right, so how shall we interpret this? Well, look at Jesus Christ. He was standing there preaching, and then the people fell on their knees or on their face, and they said, surely God is in our midst. They saw miracles, they saw wonders, they saw healings, and they heard the word expressed in a most miraculous way. But in the same spot, in the same group, there were people that did not want to confess that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They had no desire to acknowledge the man. So therefore, you have to see, even back in those days, every spirit, verse 3, that confess not Jesus is not of God. All right, so what was there to confess? That Jesus was the anointed one sent by God. Yeah. And can we see that in our day? If Jesus is the anointed one sent by God in our messengers, people, saviors, that is said, can God send a savior in our day? Well, he did back in the Old Testament. He sent them saviors, and they rescued and saved them out of their predicament. In our day, my, the world is full of it. It is so much of apostasy, falseness, gods, all kinds of gods in our day. And people are acknowledging all those carnal things. Really? Because their desire is not to see God in action, in real action. Their desire is to benefit for personal views, personal benefits, and stuff like that. So when you read that scripture in chapter 4, I will have to say, you can easily see today the very same spirit that was back in the Old Testament, back in the days of Jesus Christ, and in your own day. And you will say, what is the best way to see the attraction that is moving towards a favor to walk with the Lord? And I will say, the secret of detecting what is true or false is actually one simple word. It is unselfish motivation. Unselfish motivation. Yeah. And we can word it in a different way. As it is written, God is love. But what then? What is the quality of love? Remember, you go to any church system and all you will hear is love. Love each other. I will say love can and should be interpreted unselfish motivation. We are not motivated by our own thoughts and ideas, but we are inspired by God and motivated by His plan and fulfillment. Like it is written in Corinthians, it says there, if I speak with tongues, O men and angels, but have not love, or should I say, if I speak with tongues, O men and angels, but does not have unselfish motivation, then I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gifts of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but don't have unselfish motivation, if I don't have love, I am nothing. And I bestow all my goods. If I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burnt, but doesn't have unselfish motivation or doesn't have love, it will profit me nothing. You might say, brother, you are changing the word of God. No, actually, I'm not. You stay with the word love, but you, in your mind and heart, if you say that love, the action, what it produces, is unselfish motivation, then you, at least you are on the right track. So, how shall we then detect? Well, then I will say, if I go into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7, and I will try to shorten this so you at least will have the clue to how I look at the things in the scriptures. Because in the first stage of the quality of love, because here, verse 4 through 7 really tells what love, what divine spiritual love talks about, handles about, and actually is. Listen to this. Love suffereth long. That means if you have the Spirit of God and God has spoken to you and you are presenting God's will, then you will be able to hold on longer than any human efforts. Your human efforts will strand or close or end when you see that hope is out. But if you have divine love, you will gladly go to the end and pass by that, even into death, because you are seeing God's will for your life. And of course, God will honor you with eternal life. Yeah. So therefore, here, you are able to hold on longer than the human efforts. Number two, love is kind. Of course, you can be kind to people, kind to children, have a kind way. But here, when the word love is kind is presented, it is actually telling us we are willing to always see the best side in ours. Do you remember when we read about Judas Iscariot? And when he walked out after the communion, the last day of Jesus as a liberated person, then when the disciples saw Judas Iscariot leaving, they thought he was going out on an errand. But remember, Jesus said, the one that is betraying me is the one that dipped the bread in the wine with me. And when Jesus did that, Judas Iscariot accidentally dipped his bread in the same little cup. And the devil went into him, as it is said. Did the devil go into him like accidentally? No, because later on it was shown Judas Iscariot was a thief. And he was also the treasury. So he took the money, he stole the money, and used it for his own benefits. All right? So if you're going to be kind, you will always be able to see the best side in others. Don't fall for that everybody else is evil. Let God prove it. The third one, love envieth not. That means it is not jealous when others are blessed. Remember, there are people saying, if I can't have it, nobody's going to have it. Hey, that's an attitude of the fallen nature. But if you really love God and have the love of God inside you, you will not envy and be jealous when others are blessed. And love wanted not itself. That's really the big issue. It's not longing for personal benefit. Right? You're not looking for personal benefit. Then number five, it is not puffed up. That means it doesn't have a boasting attitude. Remember, sometimes when people pray for the sick, and if they get healed, then they're very quick to say, I prayed for them. It was me who did it. Jesus Christ, hey, remember, in Brother Branham's life, he said it like this. Jesus never healed anyone. It was God healing them in and through the vessel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus didn't claim to be a healer. He claimed that God was the healer, and Jesus was only expressing what the Father showed and told. Then, the sixth one, doth not behave itself unseemly. All right. That means it does not have a rude offensive towards others. Yeah. And number seven, seeketh not his own. That tells what is in it for me. Brothers and sisters, we are ending. I hope that you will read the rest and find the truth. God